First John chapter number 5, and I promise to be brief this morning. Our text, which you may notice on the screen behind me, is a statement of truth that John gives at the very end of his first epistle. You'll notice in the Bible or on the screen this text, it says in 1 John 5:11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Now, folks, I don't know what you believe this morning about life after death. I don't know what you believe. Maybe some of you don't even believe in such a thing. I don't know what a whole lot of people believe about heaven and eternity, but I do know what the Apostle John believed. And I do know what the Lord Jesus himself believed. I also know what the Apostle Peter and Matthew and Mark and Paul and Moses and Abraham and Job and Isaiah and Joseph and Mary as well. I know, I may not know what you believe about life after death, but I definitely know what the Bible teaches. You see, the Bible is a record. It is a testimony, and of course, it is a testimony of some 66 books written over a period of thousands of years and yet with the exact same paramount theme. It is a theme that involves life and death, and more specifically, eternal life and eternal death. And it's at the very end of the record that John says something truly remarkable about eternal life. He says something critical and amazing about eternity. He says, "And this is the record. This is the record that God hath given." God hath given to us eternal life. In other words, the first, the most important truth about, the most valuable and important thing in the universe is that it is a gift. It is a free benefit of God's grace. And of course, John's not alone in that record in saying so. Paul said in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." That's what we've earned, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. That's what we didn't earn. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Romans 5:15, "But the free gift and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Here it is. It is the gift of God. And of course, a familiar text this time of year, 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, his indescribable gift." Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, "If thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water, a well springing up into everlasting life." This eternal, everlasting life is a gift. The record is clear and final. Eternal life, salvation from sin, is a gift of God's grace. But that brings us to a question. And the question is why? Why would God cause the most valuable and expensive and indescribable thing in all of the universe to be a gift? Why can't it be earned? And furthermore, why doesn't everybody receive this gift? Let me illustrate that for you for a moment, if I may. I have this morning a gift. This is a gift. I bought it. I paid for it. I even wrapped it up myself. And here it is. A gift. And yes, the whole idea of a gift is that you have a giver. And right now, that is me. And you have a gift, and that is this. And you have a recipient. You have a benefactor. I need one of those. We need a young fella. Let me get Bobby. Bobby, run up here. There you are. Bobby, run up here. I want you to stand right here. I'll let you sit down in a minute, but not yet. Let me get you a microphone, Bobby. Hold this yellow mic, all right? This is Bobby. Bobby's my buddy. If you were here on Sunday night during the Christmas program, you probably heard Bobby read a line or two. And if you heard it like I did, he sounds just like Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. In fact, let me see that Bible for a minute. Let me prove it to you. Will you read something for me? All right, I'll hold the mic. You hold that. Read those three verses right there. Ready? Listen.
And there were in the Shechem country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, about them. And they were sore, so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring
you. I told you. All he needs is a blanket. Does anybody have a blanket that he can hold right now? You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, hold that and keep that, okay? I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but that Christmas special, by the way, that aired in 1965, it's since become the most watched television event in history. And of course, the most iconic scene in that special is when Linus reads what he just read, Luke chapter number 2. And he's explaining the real meaning of Christmas, as you know, and just as surely as Charlie Brown is known for his yellow zigzagged shirt, and Pigpen is known for his cloud of dust, Linus was known for his security blanket, right? And if you've ever noticed in that special, as he carries that blanket everywhere, including up on stage when he says, Lights, please, and begins to read. As he reads all of verse 8, he's holding the blanket. All of verse 9, he's holding the blanket. When he comes to verse 10 and he reads the words, Fear not, he drops the blanket. By design, by Charles Schulz's design. Fear not, for today I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. And at the end of the special, he lays the blanket at the foot of the tree. This morning, beloved, I want to tell you why you don't have to fear. And whatever your security blanket is, why you do not have to fear the prospect of even death itself. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. Now, folks, everything that I have and that you have this morning, you got that one of three ways. You either earned it, or you stole it, or someone gave it to you. There's no other way for you to acquire something unless you find something and technically it's really not yours. For instance, today I have on a pair of Johnson & Murphy shoes. I've had them for at least 10 years. They've been resold and refurbished because a long time ago, these shoes were given to me by Louise. She used to work downtown, and with her money, she bought Andy and I the same year the exact same shoes. They were a gift. I also have in my possession this morning a comb. This is a comb that I bought myself because it was in a pack of 10 at Walgreens for $3. Now, I earned those $3 as a pastor counseling Remo with his low self-esteem. I don't ever contribute to that low self-esteem. By the way, I think I just collectively read the thoughts of 500 people and you all thought, why do you need a comb? Mind your own business. Sometimes I need to comb my hair. Both of them, amen? One thing was a gift. One thing that I have was earned. And then thirdly, I also have up here this morning a pen, which I stole from Marcella's desk. Amen? I'm confessing, this is an altar. Marcella's out of town, it's all good. But again, all of these possessions, as with all of your possessions, it's either a gift, or you earned it, or you stole it. Which brings up the obvious question. If you want to possess eternal life, how do you get it? How do you acquire the most valuable thing in all of the universe? Because, folks, if there is one thing the Bible makes crystal clear, it is this. Eternal life is not something that you can ever earn or pay for. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. Ephesians 2:8-9, we noted earlier, ye are saved. It says, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's amazing to me, people will work their entire lifetime, and oftentimes after an entire lifetime of work, still not own a home on this earth that they could pay for. And yet, as sinners before a holy God, they think that somehow they can earn a home in heaven for all of eternity. It's not allowable. In fact, according to the record, it's not even possible. Bobby, this box, let us say, is eternal life. It represents life in heaven forever. Therefore, it is the most valuable thing in the universe now and forever. Let me ask you a question, Bobby. How much money do you have on you right now?
Nothing.
Mic up there. Do you have any gold?
No.
Silver?
No.
Not even a $5 bill?
No.
He has nothing. Any bonds or securities?
No.
Your dad's a lawyer, for crying out loud. Don't you have anything? May I say something? This and this is you this morning. When it comes to eternal life, you have nothing to pay. Absolutely nothing. And may I add that even if you had $1 trillion, it would not be able to buy a single moment of eternal life. Steve Jobs had $1 billion. At the time of his death, he wrote a very poignant memoir. And he noted himself that $500 million would not buy him 1 hour of health and life. If you can't buy earthly life, how do you think you can buy eternal life? If Bobby says, "Pastor, let me work for it. Let me earn it. Let me do something." Well, what's he going to do? We've already noted that it's worth more than $1 trillion for one little moment. He could live 1,000 lifetimes doing every good deed and work imaginable, but it would do absolutely nothing to remove sin or put his name or your name up into heaven. I'll say it again. The Bible, our Lord Jesus, made it crystal clear. You cannot earn eternal life. So then maybe, if you can't earn it, he can steal it. Bobby, you want to steal it right here, right now, in front of Mom and Dad and the church and me? No. I find it interesting that the son of a lawyer wants to steal this gift. And very fitting. You know, it seems kind of silly to us, the notion, the idea of stealing heaven from God. But do you realize that Jesus actually addressed that very thing? He said in John 10:1, "Verily, verily," of course, important words, "truly, truly," listen, listen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way," Jesus said, "the same is a thief and a robber." Anybody, Christ said, who tries to go to heaven without going through him, he said, "I am the door, he's the door." Some other way. There are hundreds of other ways, but Jesus said, if you try it, you're a thief and a robber, and the Bible is crystal clear. No thief will inherit eternal life. Eternal life is not something that you earn. It is not something that you can steal. However, it is something that you can receive. If you receive it as a gift. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Beloved, this is a gift. There are only two things that you can do with a gift. You can either receive it or you can reject it. Now, folks, if Bobby tries to steal it, he's rejecting it, therefore, as a gift. If he tries to pay me for it by being a good boy, doing good works, being baptized, then he's not receiving it as a gift. He's rejecting it as a gift. There are only two things that you can do with a gift. The Bible makes it crystal clear. Eternal life is a gift. There's only two things you can do with Christ and eternal life. Accept it or reject it. Now, you say, "Pastor, if it's that simple, if it's that easy, then everyone would just receive the gift and be saved and go to heaven." Right? You know what? I would agree with that, except for two words in the Bible and in that text. You notice the last two words of 1 John 5:11, see what they are? They are the words, His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life, this eternal life, is in His Son. Now, wait a minute. Every single text that teaches that eternal life is a gift includes the truth of those two words. Earlier, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus said, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not that eternal life. It is the gift. It is the gift of God's own Son. Why? Because, beloved, it is the Son who paid for the gift. You see, just because it's a gift doesn't make it cheap. This gift of eternal life cost God everything. God became flesh. That's what the choir sang about. That's what Christmas is about. God became flesh to take your sin upon Himself. He was sinless, but He suffered. He suffered in ways that no man could ever suffer. He bore on His body every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. He was rejected and despised of men, and He died, and He rose again, and always declared that He is the only way, therefore, to eternal life. He is the gift. And yes, for many in this room and for many in this world who are lost, that's the problem. You see, the prophets declared that the chief cornerstone, the Savior, would for many be the stone of stumbling. The very cornerstone of faith. The very one that you would build your faith upon for many, if not most in the world, is the stumbling stone. They want eternal life. They would love for it to be a gift. But when it says His Son, I'll remind you that when Simeon held up the baby Jesus, he said that this child was destined for the rising and the falling of many people. Why the falling? Because He's the stumbling stone for some. Some people want the gift of eternal life, but they don't want the Son of God. They don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand and be reminded this morning that with God, this is personal. If you reject His Son, you reject Him. And if you reject Him, you reject the gift of eternal life. There are only two things you can do with a gift. And the gift has been paid with the blood of Christ Himself for your sins. You can reject it or accept it. And the only thing that God expects of you and requires of you to accept this gift is faith. You have to believe what God has said in His Word. You have to believe that you're a sinner and the wages of sin is death. You must believe that you have sinned against a holy God. You must believe that Christ came and died for your sins and suffered, was buried, and rose again and is alive in heaven today. You must believe what He said in His Word, and then by faith, the gift is yours. If I offer Bobby this gift, and it's been paid for at great cost, if I offer the gift, what is the one thing that he needs to do for the gift to be his? Receive it. Jesus said, except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. God is offering the gift of salvation to the world. He offers it through the power of His Holy Spirit that convicts hearts of their sin and their need to be saved. And I am sure of this. I am sure that there are people in this room right now. There may be a few members of this church who've never truly received the gift. You think your religion will earn it? Your good works? Your sincerity, your money given to charity, you think that your life, it'll never earn it. But you can receive the gift by faith. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to thank You for the gift of music, but we want to thank You most for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, this morning there were several, many hands that were raised and said, pray for me, some that we've known for years. And we ask, Father, that you will use this time, this service, and your people as instruments in your hand to help draw them to Christ. We pray, Father, that they'll not rest today if they did not just a few moments ago exercise faith in Christ. They will not rest today until they do so. Because one day, we know, one day it would be too late. And I pray, Father, for those in this room who do know that the gift of eternal life is theirs through Christ, they will recognize, and all of us here recognize and understand, that we have a great calling and a purpose in this world. May we take this same gift and share it with all those around us, winning souls to your honor and to your glory. May this church be a beacon to that end. Bless your people now. We love you today. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.